Very quickly, we want to continue our study on this theme of life in and through the Spirit from Romans chapter 8. And this evening we want to look at verses 9 to 11. And there are three important events from these three verses in the life of a Christian. The first event is discussed in verse 9, and that is the Christian formal life. The second event in your life, if you are a believer, is in verse 10, the Christian's present life. And then the third event, which is in the future, is in verse 11, the Christian's future life. Let us examine each of these events in detail. Firstly, the Christian former life. Verse 9 discusses the Christian's past. Notice in this verse the Apostle Paul's logical argument. He says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then you will not be controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. In other words, if a believer is a born-again believer belonging to the Lord Jesus, the believer will live like one who has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him or her. If you do not live like one who has the Spirit of Christ, then in fact you do not belong to him, regardless of your outward claim or profession that you are one. Beloved, this important point I'm raising here is not meant to dishearten you or to make a judgment. In fact, it is the opposite. It is meant to be an encouragement to all of us. Paul is writing to the believers in Rome and saying to these believers, you who are believers, you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. And that is to say, Paul is assuming that these believers in Rome, they really belong to Christ. And he is trying to explain to them the difference Christ has made in their lives. And the difference Christ will make in their future life as they continue to walk with the Lord Jesus. And so for us, we have to ask, what difference has Christ made in my life? What difference has Christ made in my life? And so when you and I as believers, we look back to our past, which is what Paul is doing in verse 9, we see that as Christians, we have been lifted out of our former sinful or fleshly state or condition. And God, in His mercy, has brought us into the realm of the Spirit of God. We are now in the Spirit, not in the mystical sense. Notice that the Spirit here is the capital S, which our Authorized Version does help us, referring to God the Holy Spirit. So when you see the capital S in our Bible, it is referring to God the Holy Spirit, not the small S, which referring to the spirit or the attitude. Right? So we are brought into, right now, into the realm of the Spirit of God. Which means to say, Paul is telling us that the Spirit of God right now dwells in the heart of a believer. And what this signifies is that being a Christian is not merely a matter of adopting a particular set of intellectual or theological beliefs. Though this is important, we should have that. We should adopt a set of theological beliefs, the whole body of truth. That is good, but it's more than that. Being in the Spirit involves a change of state, which is accomplished not by us. We cannot do that change, but by God who saves us. So again, quoting from Dr. Lloyd Jones, he says this, I quote, "It is not that a man just changes his beliefs and no more," meaning you say nothing more than that, just change. No. "He was in the realm of the flesh before and governed by it," meaning to say governed by the flesh. "He is now, after Christ saved us, the believer right now is in the realm which is governed and controlled or dominated by the Spirit," unquote. So you and I cannot make this change ourselves. It is something that God does through the work of His Spirit. What each one of us must ask is, have I experienced such a spiritual change to be delivered from the realm of the flesh and brought into the realm of the Spirit of Christ? This is what we must often reflect. We must often examine our own hearts in the light of Scripture. For the purpose of Paul says in Scripture, and that is to make our own election sure, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so, in fact, Paul has already brought out this teaching to us in Romans 5, where he wrote that the Christian is no longer under the reign of sin and death, but instead has been brought under the reign of God's grace in Christ. The fact that it is of grace shows us that God has done it in His mercy, not of our works. There is nothing for us to boast about. Secondly, this change also means that being a Christian is not a matter of merely living in a Christian manner either, though it is important. Again, it is more than that. Being a Christian is not just conducting yourself or merely conducting yourself as a Christian should be. If you are a Christian, you will live like one or conduct yourself as one. And this is what Paul has been teaching to us from Romans chapter 5 to 8, and especially in our last study. The point is this: living like a Christian, at least in an external observable sense, does not in itself mean that you are a Christian. And this is quite difficult for us to understand. I repeat this point again. Living like a Christian, at least in an external observable sense, does not in itself mean you are a Christian. And why do I say that? And why Paul is emphasizing this so much? You see, there are many unbelievers, and I'm sure you have come across, there are many unbelievers of whatever other faith or even have no religion at all. They are able to live outwardly, morally upright life, which oftentimes you can see, as I said, and also in oftentimes put us, the Christian, to shame, because they really conducted themselves morally upright, far better than a Christian. But they are not Christians. They are not true believers. So for a Christian, he is one who has been delivered from one realm, the realm of sin and death, and has been transferred to the realm of the Spirit of God, which is life. It is because of this, and because salvation is the work of God, that it is impossible to speak of the Christian eternal security, which Paul is showing us in verse 9. The only reason Christian can be assured of their salvation is that God's ways are always perfect, whose promises are never broken, and who does not change his mind. It is God's work, he has done it, and he will continue to do that work until the day we meet him. Now we move on to verse 10, the Christian present life. Verse 10 describes the Christian's present life, saying, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." First of all, let us look at the word body, which clearly refers to our literal human bodies and not some mortal principles within us. When Paul wrote that the body is dead because of sin, he is referring to the fact that our physical bodies have the seed of death. One day, we will die, physically. Romans 6:23. Yet there is a contrast in verse 10 in that although our physical bodies will die, our spirits have been made alive by the Holy Spirit of God, whom God the Father has sent to do that precise work in us. To have our spirit made alive by the Holy Spirit of God is to say that by the new birth, the Spirit of God has made us responsive. And that is how we describe or explain the meaning of to be alive in the Spirit. In Ephesians, we are told that we are dead in trespasses and sin. Being dead, we cannot respond to anything else. There is no response. But now, the Spirit of God comes upon us, and he has made us responsive, or we can say that the Holy Spirit has awakened us. But awakened us to what? Awakened us to things that are spiritual. We were once upon a time dead to all these spiritual things. And anything concerning spiritual, we have no interest, and it does not make sense to us. So what are the things we have become alive to or awakened to? By the Holy Spirit right now, we are able to respond to things spiritual. So what are the things that are made alive to us? Firstly, we are made alive to God. The first thing a believer has become alive or responsive to is response to God himself. Before we were born again, we may have believed in God in some way. Indeed, the Bible says that only the fools does not believe there is a God. But God was not real to us. Without the Spirit, we have no true sense of who God was or what was he like. However, when we were born again, this sense of God changed. Now, although there is still much, there's so much more that we do not know about God, but now with the Spirit, we at least acknowledge God. We believe there is a God. And we believe, particularly for us the Christian, we believe the God of the Bible, not any other gods. Now, although, as I said, we do not know much, but yet, we do feel that God is real. On the contrary, as a believer, or rather, should I say the other way around, as a believer right now, God is more real to us as before. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we know that God loves us. How do we know? As we study the Scripture. Scripture right now makes sense to us. When the Scripture tells us that God loves us, we understand. And we trust God's wise management of our earthly affairs. God is particularly close to us who are his children. And God becomes very real to us, particularly in times of sorrow, in times of sickness, in times of helplessness and hopelessness. We do feel his presence with us, especially in our time of need. We know that in the hour of our death, we will pass from this life into the presence of the Lord. Once upon a time, all this was not real to us. We do not believe it. It does not make sense to us. But now we are made alive to God. And the second thing that is made alive to us, or where we respond right now, or we can respond right now to, because of the Spirit dwelling in us, is alive to the Bible. We respond right now to the Word of God. The Word of God become real to us. The Word of God become precious to us. We treasure it, and we will treasure it more and more each day. It is the Bible that God speaks to us clearly, regularly, and even forcefully. Before we were born again, the Bible was a strange book, a closed book. You may read about it, but you have no understanding of it. You may treat it just as another book. Nothing in the Bible makes sense to you in the past. But now, with the Spirit dwelling in you, you day by day, as you read, the Holy Spirit helps you to understand. And as you come for worship, as you come for Bible study, and as you pray, the Holy Spirit will reveal more and more of the Word or the truth of the Bible to you. You no longer find reading or studying the Bible boring. As Christians, that has been changed. Today, when we read the Bible, we know, spiritually speaking, God is speaking to us. Though we do not see Him, though we cannot touch Him, we know that God is speaking to us when we read our Bible. We know that it is true. Whatever the world may believe, whatever our non-believing friends may tell us to the contrary, we know and we stand firm on the Word of God, that God's Word is absolutely right and true, and it will endure forever, as Matthew 5:18 tells us. Furthermore, not only is the Bible has become alive to the believer, we also find that the Word of God, the Bible, to be effective in our lives. Effective in what way? In changing us. In molding our thoughts. Our thoughts life, or our thinking life right now, change. Our perspective of life change because the Word of God, as we study it, we understand right now the world around us with or in the light of Scripture. And so we understand the purpose of life. Why did God create us? Why is there a God? And who made this world? And all these things right now make sense to us. And we praise and thank God for enlightening our understanding of life, of what He is revealing to us. And so we echo the words of Paul to young Timothy, saying, "All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, truly furnished unto all good works." 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Secondly, we are also made alive to the Spirit of God in other believers. So the final thing that, as a Christian, what become alive to us, besides God being alive to us, we are alive to God right now, alive to His Word, we also become alive to the Spirit of God in other Christians. When we fellowship with them, when we talk with them, when we pray with them, we are able to bear witness with their spirit, the Spirit of God in them. And so, also the Spirit of God bears witness with us in our hearts, as also in the hearts of other believers. We are now fellow members of the body of Christ, having that one Spirit, the Spirit of God that dwells in us. That is alive to us. We sense it. We sense it. We may not be able to explain it fully, but we know, as we fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that they too have the Spirit of God in them if they are truly a born-again believer. We have, and therefore, with that understanding, we know that right now we are of one family, members of the body of Christ, and therefore, with that understanding, I now know that I have a responsibility of care and love to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are all having the one Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Beloved, to know whether we are truly alive in God in this present life, I would like to suggest the following test. First of all, is God real to you? By this question, I do not mean that do you understand everything about God and God's way? What I simply mean is that, is God real to you? When you pray, do you know that you are really praying to Him and that God is listening to you and will answer you? Are you confident of that? When you worship Him in church, is it a real God you are worshiping? Second, is the Bible meaningful to you? An attractive book to you? Not like before? Or maybe I should say, is the Bible more and more attractive to you? Does it seem right when you read it? Are you attracted to it? Do you want to know more of the Word of God? Finally, are you drawn to other Christians? Do you want to be in the company of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you place a high regard for Christian fellowship? If God is not real to you, if you find the Bible not as attractive, and if you are not drawn to other believers, why do you think you are a Christian? Perhaps you may not be. On the other hand, if these things are true of you, it matters to you, it is important to you, then may I encourage you to further pray and ask God to strengthen that we may indeed cultivate, to pray that the Lord will work this in us through His Holy Spirit to make us more and more alive to God, to His Word, that we have more and more desire to be in the presence and the fellowship of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to love one another. Let us pray that the Lord will increase our love for Him, for His Word, for His laws, for His precepts, and the love for fellow brethren. The third and final event in the life of a Christian is his future life. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 tells us the Christian's future, pointing forward to his or her physical resurrection. It is true, as verse 10 has said, that the body is dead because of sin, but although the believer died like any other human being, yet he or she nevertheless rise again. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Here the Apostle Paul is making a comparison between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of a believer. And it is clearly highlighted that God, or rather highlighting that God will raise the believers just as God raised the Lord Jesus. And so this verse is speaking to us about future resurrection. And it is regarding it as certain for all who are in Christ. In other words, it is real. It will happen. In developing this truth of the believer's resurrection, the Apostle Paul in verse 10 bring in each member of the triune Godhead. All three persons of the Trinity combined guarantees the believer's final resurrection. And at the resurrection, being free completely from sin's penalty and from the power of sin and from the presence of sin, we shall be brought into the presence of God in heaven. And the point is, again, we must ask ourselves to examine our hearts. Are you certain you will be there to meet with your Savior, the Lord Jesus? So in conclusion, the summary of what we have considered in Romans 8 verses 9 to 11 is this. If you are truly a born-again Christian, your former life has been altered, you have been changed. Before you were dead in sin, now you are alive in Christ. Our present life also right now has been changed or changing. Now you have been awakened to the reality of God. Now you begin to appreciate the beauty of Scripture. Now you are able to appreciate or rather desire more and more of the feeling of God the Holy Spirit. And you are right now also begin to see and sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And you look forward to have a changed future. That should be our understanding of what God has done for us. And so for in time death will be overcome, and you can be assured, if you are a born again believer, you will put on the incorruptible. You will be like Christ, raised from the dead, like the body of Christ. And you will be ushered into the presence of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus, and to be with Him forever, to praise Him and to worship Him. And this is the Christian hope. And so I trust that this brief study will help us to understand deeper and also to have a fuller appreciation of what Christ has done for you, and you can be assured that God, who has begun this good work in you to save you and to bring you out of darkness into His kingdom of light, He will continue to do that work until you meet Him face to face. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we ask for Thy help. We confess that our faith is weak, and oftentimes, Lord, we do not understand things spiritual. And we thank Thee for Your Holy Spirit once again, who has enlightened us, who has given us, awakened us to the things of God, to God Himself, and has awakened us to respond to the Word of God, and that we also desire fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because we know also that the Spirit of God dwells in them. And so, Father, we pray for this congregation that You will continue to strengthen every member of this congregation, and help us indeed to love one another with the love of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to seek after such an awakening, that we may be made alive and respond more and more to God Himself, to His Word, to His laws, to His commandments, and also more and more that we may fellowship and love one another who are in the Lord. Help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.